think Rod's going to come and bring God's word to us in the form of a reading. So if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn to John 3.
I was tempted this morning to get you to read it to me because you should know it so well. But let's just look in this season of love. Look at what the creator of love, what is said about him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into it, to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. We praise him for his word.
Well, Christmas is a time for giving and receiving gifts. I wonder, which do you get the most pleasure out of? Giving? Giving? Nobody's admitting receiving. I like watching people's faces on Christmas morning as they open their gifts, especially if it's been something they've been wanting or waiting for. You know, giving a gift hopefully demonstrates our appreciation or our love for that person, that we've taken time to think and reflect, and the gift that we give hopefully conveys that message to the person that receives it. Today, I want to talk about the subject of radical love. That was good, thank you, who did that? That was good. Radical love. A love that would motivate a person to give that ultimate sacrifice by laying down their life for someone else. As it says in John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. The act of love is clearly seen through the life of our Saviour Jesus. It is right when we celebrate from the birth of Christ, when God came down to earth. But it's not just about Christmas, is it? It's not. Because if Christmas stood on its own, it would be immaterial, really. I read a phrase the other day. Christmas without the cross is irrelevant. I'll repeat that. Christmas without the cross is irrelevant. I think that's very true. If you have Christmas on its own, but no Easter, what's the point? Because humanity will still be in the same mess. But because of the story of Easter, we're able to know the real power, the real radical love that Jesus demonstrated as he walked this earth. That's why it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This was an act of choice, motivated by love, the love of God for us, of humanity. God's love for humanity was so great that he gave everything that he had, his one and only son, to come down to be born as a baby. Paul wrote these words to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 3, and reading from verse 16 to 18. He says this, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high and deep is the love of Christ." Did you hear that? How long, how high, how wide, how deep is the love of Christ for you this morning? It is beyond measure. It is beyond the fathoming of the deepest of seas. The love of God is beyond our physical and our comprehension. We cannot grasp the size of God's love for you and for me. So God, is God's love bigger than the UK? It is. Is it bigger than the United States? Yes. Is it bigger than the world? That's good, right? Is it bigger than the universe? It's got to be, isn't it? We can't measure the universe, I don't think. I don't think they've developed a calculator or a measuring stick that would cover that distance. God's love is beyond measure. And that love is for you and for me. Isn't that amazing? God's love goes on and on and on and on and on. It goes longer than a Duracell battery. Did you know that? It goes on and on. It never goes out. It never stops. It never fails. It never falls short. God's love is made perfect through Christ for us. God's love for us is not shallow. It doesn't change like the wind. His love never changes. His love never depends on how he's feeling or human emotion, like our love sometimes is. His love is constant. It's steadfast. It's like a rock that can never be moved. It is immovable. You cannot move the love of God. It is there. It is solid. It is in one whole state. Paul wrote these words to the church in Rome. And he said this in Romans 8. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from God's love. Have you got that this morning, church? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Even if you are hanging by your fingertips, nothing can separate us from God's love. I've just got this image in my head just popped in of somebody hanging by their fingernails on the edge of a cliff. Nothing can separate you from God's love this morning. Because his word says his love is constant. God chose to send his son into the world as a baby. Not as an overlord, not as a powerful being, not as an angel, but as a baby. And who coos over babies? Who delights over little ones when you hold them and cuddle them? except when they're screaming and you can hand them back. There is a real joy in a baby, isn't there? The holding of, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a parent, or whether you're a godparent, or just a friend of a family who has a little one. There is just something very, very special about the innocence of life in that small wee child. And God chose to send his son in that form, the form of a helpless baby. Not all powerful, not mighty, not strong, but dependent on the care and the love his parents would give him to bring him up. His life, as we know, could have been snuffed out by Herod in a flash. But wisdom prevailed and enabled him to move and escape the clutches of Herod. God chose the gentle things to confound the wise, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So when they see Jesus, they see the image of the invisible God, the I am of Scripture, the ego eimi. Yet, and yet, when other appearances happen in Scripture, people are terrified. We get the angels appearing on the scene and they go, oh my word, what on earth's going on here? Terror strikes them. And yet, the Son of God appears as a baby. Diffuses all of that horror, I suppose. The scaredness, the mystique of an angel. Has anybody had an angel appear to them? Like the shepherds did? I've heard of them, yes, absolutely. You perhaps might have known an angel, but not realized it. We won't go about talking about angels this morning, so don't worry about that. But just that sense that when we read in Scripture, when an angel appears on the scene, it's normally people are filled with fear and fright. And yet God chose to send his son. Can you see the contrast I'm trying to draw? That sense that God came in peace, in love, in the most fragilest of states to give his son to this world. You see, God gave the greatest gift, his son. That demonstration of his love for us is that single act of giving. That single act of recognizing that actually my love for creation and human life that I have created, my love for you is worth me giving my son, sending my son into the world for you. I think we need to step back a minute. We're talking about God here. We're talking about the very person or the being that created you and me. The very person that spoke the words into being, that spoke creation into its form. God that is unseen and yet knows all. God who is beyond our mere capacity to understand God in any depth, because our brains are so small. Scripture says that we'll only ever understand like looking through a mirror dimly. The God of all creation chose to send his son for you and for me. Wow. That God would do that for us. God was not too busy. God didn't set the world in being like winding a clock up and leave it to tick. God is very much involved in the fragility of life. And he wants his love to be known to the whole world. God desires us not just to have a head understanding, but a heart reality of knowing Christ, knowing his love for us. Because we know that when we step into that story, it makes the biggest difference that it could ever make in somebody's single life. When we invite God to step in to our lives, wow, you stand back, don't you? We were praying this morning as we were preparing, that sense that that even though you might have a life that is full of stuff, full of all the monetary things that you could ever possibly imagine or buy, full of great friends, full of a great job or whatever it might be, if you haven't got Christ, there is always going to be a hole in your life. There is always going to be that gaping hole. And Kay and I were only talking about a relation last night, weren't we, of that sense that he'd got everything. He was quite an astute businessman, but does not know Jesus. And our hearts break. Our hearts break. That there are people out there who have everything, apparently, according to the world standards, and yet have nothing according to the riches of God. Without Jesus, our lives are pointless. There is no meaning. Am I right in saying that? There is no meaning, no sense to what God has created us to be, which is image bearers of God. There is nothing that can fill that hole in us but God, but the presence of God. You know, there's a story in Scripture, I think it's in Luke 15, which talks about that lost sheep. That says, if you were the lost sheep, God would pursue you until he found you. Do you believe that for all those who are out there? Do you believe that for your unsaved friends and family? That God is in the case of pursuing them? I believe he is. God has not given up. God has not walked away. God has not closed the book. It is not the end of the story. God is still on the case. God wants the world to know his love. God chases after the one every time. So as Dave prayed for Kevin this morning, we pray for Kevin. We pray for all our loved ones daily, don't we? For the ones that have maybe had faith but have drifted away for whatever reason. But God is still on the move. He hasn't finished. So don't give up hope. Don't give up hope, because God wants a living relationship with the whole of humanity. Now we know in Scripture that it talks about there are those, even given a choice, will still make the same choice and reject God. But God has not given up on the chase. God is on the case with everyone who doesn't know him. Even the hardest of peoples that you think will never accept Jesus, God is on their case. So if you've not accepted Jesus this morning, I can tell you right now that God is on your case. If you've not accepted Jesus as Lord, God is on your case. I think that's, doesn't that fill you with joy? Fills me with joy. That sense that it's bubbling, I can feel it bubbling up this morning. That sense that God is on the case. He hasn't given up. It's not the end, but it's always our choice. It's always our choice to say yes to Jesus. Even though God gave everything, he still leaves it to us to make that decision. It's easy for me to stand up here and say that, because I've made that decision to follow Christ. I've weighed the evidence. I've tested it. And I know it's good. I know it's good. And I know many of you know that it's good. But that sense that it's that choice that we have. You have to come to a place where you weigh that and say, is what Simon's saying credible? Or is it a lot of hot air? Is the love of God a reality, or is it just a myth? Is the love of God pursuing me? Is the evidence overwhelming that God is on my case and God wants to redeem me? Well, I pray that those that are out there, those that are friends and family that are not in that place, will weigh that evidence and come to the point of that decision to say, yes, Jesus is on my case. I recognize his love for me, and I want to surrender all. Because as out of an act of him giving himself and all that he had, how can I not? How can I not? We're going to come into land very quickly, but I just want to look at some verses from Matthew 5. I think this is an act of radical love for us. I'm reading from Matthew 5, verse 30, halfway through verse 39 onwards. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go a mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who you love, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That sense that going the extra mile, demonstrating God's love in the face of opposition, is actually what we're called to do. It doesn't actually say in here, this is going to be easy, does it? Doesn't say that at all. Doesn't say that this is going to be a walk in the park. Actually, the challenge to follow Jesus is a tough one. There's a song that it just popped into my head and I can't remember. Something about the tough get going. Gets tough, the tough, thank you, thank you. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Are you tough this morning? Are you tough in Jesus? Are you? Good. You see, because this is about radical love. This is about the love of God, that God would choose to send his son into the world because he could. Not because he must, but because he could. Because he wanted to. Because his desire was to have a relationship with you and me and the whole of the rest of the world. Radical love. God gave everything so that we might know the love of God. Could you give up the most precious thing that you have for somebody else? That's a big question, isn't it? But that is what happened with God. He gave up the most precious thing that he had for you and me, because he thinks and he knows that you are worth it. Wow. Such is the love of God. I pray that this Christmas, the reality of God's love will hit you, bang, and bang. It will touch head and heart afresh this year. That it won't just be a story, oh, we've been here before. I know the Christmas story really well. Where Mary and Joseph and the kings and the shepherds are da-da-da-da-da. Yes, I've heard it all before. No, I pray that the love of God through this story will hit you like a train. It will bowl you over and your response will be, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. That you went through what you did for me. I'm going to close there. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for such radical love demonstrated through your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his teaching. We thank you for his life example. We thank you that you have not finished the story. We thank you that this is not the end, but you are still at work. We pray for those outside of the church, outside of your love at this moment, whether they're friends or family, whether they're those in our community or around the world, we pray, oh God, that this Christmas would be a Christmas where your love is demonstrated, where your light goes out through us into the world, where you call us to make a difference for you, where our love might be radical because you are radical. Where our love, because of our receiving of your love, would make a difference to those that we know and those that we don't. May your grace abound in our actions, in our speaking, and in our thinking. May the power of your Holy Spirit so motivate us to share your love with those that we spend time with this Christmas. Grant us a boldness to share you. May we be encouragers. May we be people that point the way to you. Let our little light shine, Lord. Let our little light shine, that it might shine for Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the power of all that you are doing and will continue to do through us and in us. And that as your Spirit is continued to be poured out, may we see the fruit of that labor, Lord, with many coming to know you in this season. And Father, for those that are in that place of indecision, have not sure whether they feel that they've weighed the evidence, but Lord, not made that commitment to follow you, I pray, O God, that you would continue to be on their case, that you would continue to overpower them with your love, that as they weigh the evidence, they would make that right choice to follow you. Thank you, Lord.